It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome back to Money for Lunch. It's good to have you here. All right, Golden Globes. Now, in case you're wondering, I kind of consider myself a movie buff, right? I crave movies. I love entertainment. So I'm a big fan of Golden Globes, and then the Oscars nominations are coming out this week. Golden Globes didn't disappoint, except I was surprised of how many shows I wasn't aware of. It was ridiculous. Mr. Robot took away several awards. I've never even heard of this show. Anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio won, I think, Best Male Role or something, lead. And then his movie, The Revenant, won Best Movie. I think it won Best Original Score or something like that. But the thing that got me most excited was that Sylvester Stallone was recognized for his work in the movie Creed, where he reprises the Rocky Balboa character, and he does such an outstanding job. And so here he is, 40 years to the date where he received his first Golden Globe for Rocky.
Hey, yo, you want me?
He's now gotten another Golden Globe for the same character for the movie Creed. All right, I want to talk about this because we've been doing this for the last we did it all last week, and we're going to continue this week. And that is that we have been doing the, what's it called? The 13 things that mentally tough people don't do. And number 6 is they don't fear taking calculated risks. Calculated being the key word there. So people are often afraid to take risk, whether it's financial, physical, emotion, social, or business related. This is an article by Amy Morin, who's coming on this week, I believe. But it comes down to knowledge. A lack of knowledge about how to calculate risk leads to increased fear. To better analyze a risk, ask yourself the following questions. What are the potential costs? What are the potential benefits? How will this help me achieve my goal? What are the alternatives? How good would it be if the best case scenario came true? What is the worst thing that could happen? How could I reduce the risk if it will occur. How bad will it be if worst case scenario comes through? How much will the decision matter in 5 years? So stand by. We're getting I just got a note here from Amy, and she's saying that we're getting an echoey type feedback. I apologize. We'll work on that. Let's see if we can make some adjustments. And either way, that's the number 6 is they don't fear taking calculated risks. So bear with me 1 second. We're going to take a quick commercial break, see if the sound guys can fix this. We'll be right back.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, this is nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we're back. We're checking our sound. We're all of a sudden getting some echoey feedback. Amy, can you verify how's the sound now? Amy, who's our beloved segment producer, is checking out my sound to see if it's okay. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. All right. Looks like we're good to go. My first guest today is All right. Looks like we're still getting a little bit of feedback, but we're going to keep going while they work on it. Judy Blake is my first guest. Judy Blake is a professional transformational coach, educator, mentor, and speaker who is committed to empowering others to consciously create fuller, more purposeful, more meaningful lives through a proven results system. She holds a credential as a life purpose and as a dream builder coach, also an emotional freedom and neuro-linguistics programming techniques. Judy Blake, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. It's also good because I think at this time of the year, people are thinking about having a more fuller life, right, and overcoming maybe some things that they're afraid of and just getting more done. January, the new year, always has that air about getting more done, being happier. Let me ask you this. How did you get started? How did you get into being a professional transformation coach?
Well, besides my background, it pretty much was teaching, and actually coaching is an extension of that. Moving from, you know, a preschool child all the way through high school to adults. But what it was personally that it brought me to this place was that I was just dealing with a lot of stuff. And my philosophy is that, and my favorite expression is that nobody gets through life without stuff. So I became very experienced with many challenges, just like everybody else. You know, there's divorce and single parenting, health, finances, the whole, you know, gamut.
Right.
But as a result, I became an excellent problem solver until I finally realized that the more I stayed focused on the problem, I inadvertently was creating more problems to resolve so I could be an excellent problem solver. And when I had that kind of aha moment, I decided I was no longer interested in just surviving, that something had to change. So when I made the decision to thrive, kind of cutting to the chase, you know, I did my own research, exploring and personal experiences, and here I am today working with other people who are unhappy to turn their lives around in a way, not so much by reflecting back on the past, but moving through their transitions so that they can get in touch with what it is that makes their lives more meaningful and get off the problem track.
I love that. I love that. All right, so let's talk about this, because you hear this phrase quite a bit about becoming the better you or the best of you or going to the next level. What's involved in becoming the best you? How do you go about doing that?
Well, I think it's a matter of probably qualifying what that actually means. And I think it kind of ties in with the whole concept of purpose, because everybody is, that's like the quintessential question, what's my purpose? But essentially what it is that you are looking for a freer, fuller, more expanded you, all right? So that goes and starts moving outside the boundaries of how you were taught and the models that you're following. So we as people, a lot of people take this for granted and they're not in touch with it on a conscious level. We are wired from the time we are born to create. So we are creating on it every single solitary day. And the mechanism that's responsible for that really is our thought. So it is my position that it's your mindset that makes all the difference in the world. And when you get into fear, we've been conditioned to let fear in our circumstances hold us back. We don't do things because we don't have enough time. We don't do things because we don't have enough money. We don't do things because we're afraid. We can't leave this position to do that position because we're not comfortable with the interim position, those kinds of things. So to be the fuller expression of you, it is getting in touch with what it is that allows you to express who you are, because we're all unique. And we are driven by not only the thought, but also that this life force that is running within us that we're all born with. And let's face it, we're around the planet 365 days a year. We can live our life by design or by default, so we have to use that. But we can't even breathe ourselves, okay? Without this life force, we have no breath. We have nothing. So it's about understanding how life works and working with the life laws in combination with your thought process that you begin to start moving forward. You develop a compelling vision of what it is that you want, not what you don't want, but what you want. And you can't have everything, but you really can outside of our training of conditions and circumstances, you can create what it is you want. And it's really very empowering. It's very powerful. And that's the source of your inspiration, just finding out what it is that makes you tick.
Right. Let me ask you this, because I have found that a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know what they want. I mean, they're just drifting through life. So let me ask you this, Judy. What's kind of your take? What's some of the ways, or maybe a simple way, to discover your purpose?
Oh, I've got a real simple way. Okay. Actually, just to give you a little background, there was a study done at Yale, and here's all these highly educated people at a big Ivy League school. They reached their midlife point, and they did a survey. 80% of the people, though they might have been seemingly successful, were unhappy in their life, okay? So everybody seems to sort of put all their energy into the financial and the career and the work, which is really significant, but that in itself won't necessarily make you successful. The other 20% studied history and theater and the arts for the joy of learning, and those were the people that were actually the happiest. So when you go back into the purpose, there's probably over 150,000 books on the market at Amazon and whatnot that talk about, you know, finding your purpose. And through this study, there was a gentleman who talked about five simple questions. Are you ready? One is, who are you? So you can identify yourself. So I'll use myself as an example here. So my name is Judy. And what do you do? And I coach people. And who do you do it for? And I do it for those people who are unhappy or want more out of life, who want more meaning in their life, who want to design their life, they want to take charge. What do these people want or need that you provide? And they're looking for a system of how that can actually be done. And then what value do they get out of it, or what do they receive? Well, then they really have a sense of empowerment. They live a life that they've actually created and designed it, just like you would as an architect coming with a blueprint. And they learn how to do that again and again as life goes on. So there's no dependency, and it's not about, you know, just working through all your stuff from the past. It's about starting in the present moment and building on and coming from, use the word dream, or coming from that destination point and working your way backwards. But
all right, hold on
something.
Okay.
Sure.
So the first question was, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Second question is, what do you do?
Yep.
Third question is, who do you do it for?
Yes.
Fourth question
is, what do these people want, or what do they need that you provide?
Okay, what do they want or need that you provide? And then number five?
What value do they get out of it? What do they receive, or what do they learn as a result?
Gotcha. No, I love that. I love that. You know, back to what you were talking about, that 80% that were unhappy versus the 20% that was happy, this is something that I can relate to so much, because, first of all, I was one of those guys who was completely unhappy. I was chasing money. I was chasing the next big goal, you know, the next big goal rush. And the problem with that is, you know, at least for me, is that, first of all, you're thinking about yourself all the time. How much more can I make? How much more am I making than somebody else, right? It's constant competition. But you're not really having a fulfilled life. You might have a lot of money, whatever that means to people, but we know that that's just part of the equation. You know, right now, the lottery, at least here in my area, the lottery is $1.3 billion. It's great. But we've also seen a lot of lottery winners who are broke and miserable within just a few short years. So we know that money is just part of the equation. But having this purposeful life is ultimately what we're about. Because if you have a purpose, then money tends, you know, money usually follows. I mean, there's not a set time frame. In other words, you might be super happy following, you know, doing what you love to do, and the money might take a few 5, 6, 7 years to catch up to you, maybe, or whatever, but ultimately you're happy. And I think that really our life purpose is for us to be happy, and I think, you know, the way we're raised in school and generally in life, really that message is lost. Because I remember growing up, if you would see some guy, I'll use Donald Trump as a good example. You know, somebody like Donald Trump, who's held in high esteem because of his wealth, people will typically overlook his flaws and say, well, that's all right because he's a rich guy, because he's successful, because he's, you know, because he's accomplished so much. And so they'll excuse bad behavior, or they'll excuse the fact that he's got multiple broken relationships, as though one justifies the other. And I think that we have to, as a society, have to get away from that kind of thinking. Otherwise, we're going to have more unhappy people. As it is, we have, you know, 50% of the people seem to be on some kind of antidepressant or anti-anxiety drug.
Exactly. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. When you said, you know, we've got to change our thinking, again, that's going back to understanding how we operate as human beings. One, wired to create, and two, it is our thoughts. And our thoughts become the source of our inspiration, and what we focus on, we actually create more of. So if we are dealing with this problem, if you will, then we'll just magnify the problem. If we focus on what we don't want, we magnify getting more of what we don't want. So it is about learning how to shift that and moving that so that you are making a decision, a choice, and moving forward in being a fuller expression of yourself, as we just said. And you may have 15 different things that really, you know, float your boat. But everybody is born more or less with a blueprint that where there is a genius within them. And that's really a truth. And it sounds like a lofty word because you think of Einstein as a genius. But everyone
right.
has a genius. They all have, everyone has something very specific to them that they can express or give or generate and be more generative in the world. And when they are more generative, because ultimately we all want to help, when you are giving in some capacity to others, that comes full circle. And focusing on the abundance that's around you, all that there is already, as opposed to thinking about the things that you don't have, which brings you back to a mentality of lack or scarcity, you know, you're obviously going to get more of what you focus on. Okay, that's where that goes. So
right.
even as I started to say, if you have 15 different things, you can test them out. But what you have to do then partially is that it's like, so what charge, where do I get the most electricity? Where do I get the greatest charge from doing this little exercise? What is it about me? What do I really enjoy? Okay, and it does not necessarily have to be your life's career or work, because ultimately, if you're doing some aspect of it, it will continue to evolve once you start empowering yourself with different thought structures and thought bases.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And I like the verbiage that you use, that we all have this genius within. And I think that we have to take the time to sit down in a quiet place and just be reflective and think about what it is that truly makes you happy. Not what makes you money, but what makes you happy. And then go ahead and go down that journey. And hopefully you'll make good money at it as well. But
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And back to what you're saying, this mindset of, you know, what you focus on and what you're thinking about attracts more. Well, you know what? If you're sad and miserable, you're going to be attracting more sad and miserable. But if you're happy,
sure, you'll
and you're fluid, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, I was going to say, yeah, if you will attract more of that, you know, and that's where illness and things of those things start into play.
Yes.
You know, because you have not gotten off that thought track that you have been on, and you're not seeing the beauty and the abundance and the goodness and all that already surrounds you. So you've got your blinders on. So it is about being more conscious then to take the steps moving forward so that you're living not just maybe 80 years, but you're living 80 years separately, one at a time, you know, and you do have this treasure inside you. So it is about tapping into that. And you get that when you get some sort of how would I say it? You notice when you're in the flow, or you notice that you don't hear other things going on in the background. You're so involved in whatever you're doing. You know, maybe some men might go out and work in the garage, and, you know, they've got some carpentry or whatever. They're working on some kind of hobby. But many times people are taking that hobby, whatever it is that they love, and they're turning that into some kind of a small business or whatever. But it's giving them that satisfaction, that inner joy. And then as a result, everybody around them benefits. All the people that you are involved in all get to share a piece of that indirectly or inadvertently, because you're bringing joy into the space wherever you are.
Absolutely.
And that's really
absolutely
significant.
You know what? And let's look at this. When you were talking, it reminded me of John Grisham, who has written mm-hmm. several best-selling books, and some of those books have gone on to be fairly successful movies. So he's a lawyer by trade. He wrote books that had to do with his profession. They have, mm-hmm. They've done well. I'm not sure if he's still a lawyer. I know that he was a lawyer even after after the second movie. He was still a practicing attorney because that's what he loved to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great example of somebody who followed their bliss, followed their passion, but was able to also use it as a creative outlet, right? And so that he created mm-hmm. books, he created movies, all these people ended up going to work because of the stuff that he loved to do. So it's totally, to me, a great example that, again, most people do not think of lawyers as creatives. They don't think that a lawyer is going to be writing best-selling novels, or, you know, or what do you call it, that are going to lead to movie deals. But this guy loved being a lawyer, and he loved to write. So he put both of his passions together. And, again, he became an overnight success after, I think, 10 years of writing.
He's a perfect example. You know, when you look around the world and you see how many restaurants we have and how many different kinds of chefs there are and how many different styles of cuisine there is, you know, I mean, somebody started somewhere and decided, okay, I'm going to make this a little business. And then it grows and it becomes a chain and so on and so forth. You know, so we see it. We have models of it. And we have examples of it all the time. And yet there's still a segment of the world that goes, wow, look at them. I'll never do that. I can't do that. And the truth of the matter is every single solitary person has the capacity to do that when you put all the elements together, and they know how to see life from a different perspective, and there's a brand new awareness. Like I said, it's very, very empowering, because that is really how the life and the laws of the universe and the life laws work, is tapping into your higher consciousness, your change of thought, your new perceptions, and just this energy, this life force that's within you. Put those two in combination, and you're going to find out, and actually part of the process when I work with people, we do tap into that. We find out what it is that they want, because even though they're focusing on what they don't want, at some level everybody knows what they want. And
yes.
So it's just about helping them to extrapolate that, to discern that, to begin to articulate that, to create the model for that, and then create that as the focus. It doesn't happen, you know, 6 weeks later necessarily. You know, it will depend on other variables. But ultimately, that is the focus. That is the upward spiral that is pulling you. That's the vision. That's the compelling vision. And we have that capacity to do that by using our thoughts as well as our imagination, and to let go of the conditions and the circumstances and all the conventional ways we've been approaching life. Once we make that shift, you know, it's just really exciting. And I can't tell you the number of people that will call me and go, you won't believe what happened, you know. and it's just, you know, there are no such things really anymore as coincidences. At some
That's right.
level, you put this out and it's become magnetic and it comes back to you.
All right, Judy, we're going to end on that note. It's been a blast having you on the show. Would love to have you back and talk more about mindset. We didn't get to really dive deeply into it the way I wanted to, but mindset is so important. It's probably the most important thing that we have to deal with. Judy Blake, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Thank you, Bert. It was a real pleasure. Have a good day.
All right. Good stuff there from Judy Blake about following what makes you happy. You're finding out what your purpose is. And if you want to find out more about Judy, you can go to judyblake.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All righty then. As Jim Carrey is famous for saying, all righty then. All right, so here we are. We're back. My next guest, Jason Rosato. Jason is also known as Biz Coach Jason. Helps service-based business owners, coaches, and consultants to double, triple, or 10 times their business and cut their work hours in half. He went into coaching to follow his passion for helping others to create happiness and enjoy with their work, drawing from his experience in corporate leadership and training roles for large companies such as Zurich, Scudder Investments, and Microsoft, as well as running an independent restaurant near his home in Chicago. In 2006, Jason founded Distinctive Coaching for Business Success and has helped hundreds of business owners to overcome challenges in sales, marketing, productivity, and organizational development, and see success in creating the business and lifestyle of their dreams. Jason Rosato, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you, Bert. It's really great to be here.
All right, so let's get into this. Give us a quick background story. You were in the corporate world, and you decided to get away from corporate and start doing coaching. Tell us how you went from where you are to how you got here.
Well, yeah, what happened, like many people who end up working for themselves, was my most recent corporate job ended. I was training manager of a conferencing company and oversaw the training and development for about 120 employees, including operations and inside and outside sales. And that we were bought by a larger competitor. I had to figure out what to do next, and it was at that time I heard about coaching, and it was kind of this idea that had been running around my head for a couple of years, but I didn't realize it was an actual job, and you could actually make money at it, you know, doing the things that you love doing. So when I heard about that, I just looked into it right away and went through a coach training program, picked up some skills here and there, and opened up my business.
Now, I like what you said there. Here is something that you were contemplating for a couple of years, and it's interesting to me how things line up, how the universe lined it up so where you could take that opportunity and run with it.
Yes, it really did. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into this a little bit. I want to get your opinion on this. What are the biggest challenges for business owners during a sales type conversation?
Yeah. So in my business, I work mostly with service providers, oftentimes coaches, consultants, holistic practitioners, and so forth. And I tend to see there are three main challenges that service providers across the board tend to make over and over. Those three, the first one is they don't really have a plan for the conversation. And they're really trying to prove their value and their worth and their expertise. So they end up doing a lot of consulting for free, and just spend that time helping the person or helping the company. And they're taking down their ideas, and then they end up not getting hired after that because the person feels like they've really gotten what they needed solved. So that's the first one. The second one is they don't have the potential client talk enough. They really just don't ask enough questions. They aren't thinking about gathering enough information to know if this is really a great fit for them as service providers, as well as for the client to use their service. And what comes to mind is when my wife and I got married, Okay, now I have to do math. 2004, whatever the hell, however long that was ago. Yeah, when we were, you know, getting vendors for our wedding, and we were interviewing different people, we went to talk to the DJ, and the DJ was really, really enthusiastic, and we loved that. And he was just really pumped up. Loved, you could tell he really loved doing his business and doing weddings. And he kept talking about these incredible laser light shows that they put together. Very high tech, very fun. They get the crowd involved. It looks great. It really dark room, you know, brings so much different light and color into it. Really jazzes it up. And he went on and on for about 20 minutes about this technology that he uses and his process and how great it is. But he didn't ask us any questions. He didn't ask us where the wedding was being held, what time of day, anything like that. And, you know, it turns out we were having a noon wedding in a very open, airy, very sunlit ballroom. And that what he was talking about just didn't work for us. And I'm sure he was good at what he did, but during that 20 minutes, I just went on and on and on. He really turned me off. You know, and I could tell that he just either didn't care so much about our situation, what we were looking for and what we wanted, or he just didn't know any better. You know, I don't know which it was, but either way, it was just indicative of the kind of service we would get going forward with him if we had hired him, if we had overlooked that. So, you know, it's really super important to ask a ton of questions during a sales conversation, get as much information as you can, even if you already think you know, you know, or you've already worked with the same type of client 1,000 times, they don't know that you already have a great idea of what they're looking at or what they want or how they're feeling, but it might be something a little bit different for them, and you never know. So you really want to get all the information from them, get it, you know, hear what their words are that resonate with them, what they're looking for. So that's the second challenge.
Well, you know what, and I like third, that. To me, that's I hope everybody listen to that. I want to just kind of touch on that a little bit more, because that is such a immature, amateurish way to sell, right? Where you throw up all over your prospective customers, right? Hey, Jason, let me tell you about me. Let me tell you why I'm so good. Let me tell you what I'm excited for, and I can do this, and I can do that. And we've been around 100 years, and we have 6 million square feet, and we have bells, and we have whistles.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, this guy went on for 20 minutes and didn't know anything about your needs.
Right, yeah. And it's really normal. I mean,
it's unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, exactly.
All right, so I interrupt you. Go on.
That's all right. So, yeah, the third biggest challenge I see people is they don't uncover the emotional implications that this, you know, client is going to have on their buying decisions, whether they buy or not buy. And, you know, as you know, Bird, people make buying decisions based on emotion, and then they use logic to justify the decision one way or the other, either talk themselves into it and say, okay, yeah, this does make sense, or to talk themselves out of it. And so many times people don't take that time just really connecting with that client. And again, this goes back to asking a lot of questions to really understand where they're at, what their motivations are, why they want something so badly, you know, how it's going to change their business or their life, and what's going to happen if they don't, they decide not to buy. Are they going to keep going down the same path, and what's that going to be like? So you really want to help people to get in touch with the emotional implications of their decisions. So that really helps them to focus their vision and make a great buying, you know, great buying choice. So those are really the three big ones that I see. You know, kind of a fourth one would be just not knowing how to handle when somebody says maybe, or I don't know, or well, I need to check with a partner or with a spouse or something like that. But, you know, that would be a whole nother hour to go into all those nuances. But
all
even
right,
just
so
to get to that
this.
Point, you need to cover these other three things.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about this, because I know that you have put together a system, if you will, called AWARE, AWARE. And it's kind of your conversation sales system. Talk a little bit about AWARE.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, the reason it's called AWARE, there's two different reasons. First, you know, the three things I mentioned earlier that are the biggest challenges and what you really need to do to create that great bond and help that person out, you're really raising awareness on both sides of the conversation. You're helping them to see what it is that they want, why they want it so badly, why it's so important, things I mentioned before. And you're helping yourself, your own awareness, to see, is this somebody who you can really help? What in your service will help them the most? And then you'll know how to position things to really help them get the best results. You know, and so that's what it's about. It's not so much about just selling something to somebody because you're going to make a profit and, you know, they're going to buy what you're doing. But it's really about creating this relationship, co-creating this process together, and you're the facilitator creating awareness for them. So, you know, that's the first reason. The second was I wanted to come up with a simple-to-teach, simple-to-learn template for the process. And it turns out that the acronym AWARE works out really well to represent the five steps of the process. That just creates this natural feeling, very organic, service-based process conversation that you go through to help somebody and help them to a buying decision.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I want to emphasize something that you said there. It isn't about manipulation. It isn't about selling them something for the sake of selling them something. It's co-creating a solution. And I want to get your opinion on this. Look, in my experience, there's nothing more satisfying or more persuasive than when you co-create that solution with your customer. When the customer, because you're having this conversation, can say, hey, you know what? This solution I think will work for me. When the customer kind of persuades themselves to see the benefits of using your solution, that, as you're talking about this co-creation, that's when you hit a home run. Because it isn't manipulation. It's doing the best for your customer using your solutions. And that, in some cases, that means we can't help you. It's not going to be a good fit. Let me refer you to somebody who does exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what that makes me brings me back to my training days in the corporate world. One of the training principles I learned early on, which has really served me in sales, marketing, training, leadership, all this stuff, is that people argue with their own information. So you can try to sell them something, convince them of something, but if you help them to see it for themselves, like you said, you know, then they're really going to be somewhere. They're really going to go far.
Absolutely. And what's really nice about this, too, is that your, let's call it refund rate, disappears or close to disappears. You're not going to have that buyer's remorse. You're going to have just a lot more fun with your prospects, and they're going to have a lot more fun with you. All right, so let's talk about the AWARE. Go through the acronym real quick.
Sure. So, yeah, the A stands for aspirations. You want to help people to figure out what it is that they want in their ideal scenario. How would things work out? What's their perfect vision for the after state of whatever situation it is that you help people with? So what are aspirations on the other side? So that's the A. The W is why. Why is this so important to them? What is it about it that's so motivating, so compelling, you know, that they're so drawn to it? Again, this helps to tie them to the emotional aspect as well as just help you understand where they're coming from so that you can service them the best way possible. And then once you've been able to dig those out, the next A stands for assessment. So you want to have some kind of assessment process to figure out what their biggest challenges are, and again, figure out if what you offer is the best fit or which service that you offer is the best fit and going to help them the most. So you want to go through some kind of diagnostic or assessment. It could be very quick and easy, maybe just, you know, like five questions, or it can be a little more lengthy, you know, depending on the process and what makes the most sense. But you want to do something that also helps to show your expertise when you're going through those questions, because they understand that you know what you're talking about and you're asking these great questions. The R is review and relate. So after you've gotten all this information from them and you see that, yep, I can definitely help them and, you know, what I offer is really going to help them go far and there's a great fit here on both sides, you just want to review and make sure you understand their process right. So you want to reiterate back to them what they said. And a lot of times a mistake that people make is they like to paraphrase what the other person said because they want to show their intelligence and their understanding. And, you know, what you really want to do is just use the same words right back to them because those are the words that resonate the most with this person, and that's what, you know, they're going to get the most out of. So you want to use their same words right back to them when you're reviewing and relating to them. And also with relating, oftentimes I'll tell a story that sort of puts perspective on my own experiences with one of their trouble areas or one of my clients' perspectives, and show them how, you know, people have been able to overcome the challenges and do that. Then the last part of the process, E, is extend an offer. So again, a lot of people make this mistake. You need to actually tell the person, hey, I've got this service or this program or this product that's a great fit based on everything that we've said. Would you like to hear a little bit about it? And invite them into the sales process so their shields don't go up. They're part of it. You know, they feel like they're in control of the situation. And you guys are, like we said before, co-creating, you know, this relationship as you move forward. So in a nutshell, that's the process.
You know, I like that. And I want to make sure that everybody understood or caught that last final tip there, that you actually have to ask for the business, however you do it. Let me show you what, you can do an invitational type close like Jason just did there. You can just flat out say, hey, you know, here are our two, whatever, here are our rates, here are our different options, however you do it. But I cannot tell you how many people I've come across who are afraid to ask for the money. If you are afraid to ask for the money, do yourself a favor, either get out of business or get some help in this area. Because if you're afraid to ask for the money, then you're going to starve.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, listen, we're out of time. I look forward to having you back again so we can talk more about your AWARE process as well as business in general. Jason Rosado, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
You're welcome. Thanks so much, Bert. This has been a lot of fun.
All righty. Good stuff there from Jason Rosado on how you can co-create a solution with your customers and really just have more fun making sales. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to hang out with the plumber's wife, Ellen Rohr, right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, we're back. Sorry for the dead air. I was caught talking to our next guest, Ellen Rohr. You guys probably know Ellen. She's been on the show numerous times. Ellen Rohr is the plumber's wife turned business makeover expert. Ellen learned how to make and keep track of her own money. She fixed the failing family plumbing business. She grew a franchise, Benjamin Franklin, the punctual plumber, from 0 to 40 million in franchisee sales, 47 locations in under 2 years. She's a serial entrepreneur, the author of the 4 business basic books, including The Weekend Biz Plan and How Much Should I Charge? She's also the president of Zoom, Drain and Sewer, a new franchise opportunity. Ellen Rohr, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Hey, I know. I was commenting on Jason's awesome AWARE acronym or mnemonic, I guess, something to help you remember things. I thought that was awesome, Jason. Yay, you.
All right. So we were talking about that, and then you gave one final tip, which I thought was also worth noting here. So when you invite somebody,
I tell you what I loved about Jason's approach is that it's all about making sure that what you have is going to be of service to that customer, which I love so much. One of the things I really cringe about when it comes to sales is this lack of the discovery phase. Like, they ask for the sale here, you know, $20,000 is going to make your dreams come true, but they never stop to find out if this is a good fit for the customer. So kudos to Jason for a really lovely appropriate approach to sales. That's going to make you a lot of money. I thought you guys had great advice. But my final piece that I gave to Bert was, after you extend the offer, shut up.
Now, she
at that
was,
point,
she
let
specifically said,
think.
Shut the bleep up. So, just because it's...
Shut the blank up. I know. I was trying to be polite for your listeners.
But shut
the blank up because at that point, the customer may be just thinking, I could put it on my credit card. I could, you know, maybe I should pay cash. I don't know exactly when I could start it. When they speak next, they'll either say yes or give you something you can work with. But I've ridden along as the plumber's wife. I've hopped in the truck and ridden along almost, I think I'm at 119 ride-alongs. And so often a huge sales mistake is then that service tech or the salesperson just never shuts up and then talks themselves right out of a sale.
Yes.
A confused customer won't buy. Give them a chance to think a minute, and then you can respond to whatever they say. If it's yes, then what I always say is, congratulations, you've made a good decision. Here's what happens next. I've got that rehearsed because that way I don't talk them out of it. They've made a decision. Let's go. And if they say, well, I got to talk to my husband, or I'm not sure if I can afford it, or, you know, do you take credit cards? Whatever they say next, you can deal with. I might even, if they just say flat out no, I might even say, may I ask you a question? What did I miss? You know, you said that this is what you were looking for, and I've got a solution to that. Did I miss something? I might ask that. You know, depending on the relationship I have with them, I might have well missed something, and they'll help you.
Absolutely. Okay, now, so...
That's not
so
what we're talking about
that
today, but I've just got so excited about Jason. So thank you, Jason, for getting me all fired up.
We're actually going to be talking about distractions, but we got distracted.
And we got distracted. So there.
All right,
well,
so let me ask you.
In
okay,
fact, that's
so,
one
so
of the things I
say?
Want to talk about with distractions. Now, do we have to the top of the hour?
We do. So, but
what's
real
our
quick,
time? Okay.
You said something about that's a great decision. What did you say? How did you transform? How did you, what do you call it?
Congratulations, you've made a great decision. Here's what happens next. Because if they've made a decision, you have a promise to keep, and it starts right now.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about distractions.
We're going to talk about distractions. And that's such a perfect intro because I was already shiny object onto a whole different topic. So, of course, I'm an expert to talk about distractions because I'm easily distractible.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, okay. I've shared a little of my story before. I have had a million jobs. I guess I was entrepreneurial as a kid. I'm very distractible, so if something ceases to interest me, I move on to the next thing. And I've had jobs, I've had businesses, but the really pivotal point in my career was when I quit a really great job and career arc to go work with my husband, the plumber, and I got my butt handed to me. Because even though I had a degree in business administration, I had all this business experience, I was woefully unprepared to run a service company and nearly sent it down the drain, Bert. And then I lucked out because I met some really great mentors and I started to study business. You know, my mentor Frank Blau was huge. If you haven't read Michael Gerber's The E-Myth, I think this is required reading for every entrepreneur.
Yes.
Did you love that book?
Yes.
Yeah.
That book, if you guys have not read The E-Myth, then you're doing yourself a disservice. If you're a consultant or anything like that and you haven't read The E-Myth, then you're doing your clients a disservice. But The E-Myth really changed my life. I've had Michael on the show a couple of times and stuff like that. And he's an awesome individual. But the book itself is probably the book that helped me break the $1 million income, the $1 million revenue annual revenue, because there were so many aha moments in that book.
Oh, that makes me so happy that you're also a devotee. When I read that book, I thought he wrote it for me. It might as well say Ellen Wright in it, every word. In fact, I still remember I quoted him the other day. There was a line in there where he says, "You have time to go to the bathroom." And I remember reading that like, it's okay, Ellen, you can go to the bathroom. you get so busy and so focused, and everybody's pulling you in every direction. And this is where distractions can come in. So, you know, luckily I met great mentors like Michael Gerber, like you, Bert. I am always reaching out and finding voices that resonate with me and learning from them. It's a never-ending process if you want to be successful. And smart people share what they've learned, like you do. So thanks for the show, and thanks for giving me an opportunity to get on my soapbox, too.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You can add?
No, I was going to actually say is, let's talk about this. What is a distraction? I want you to kind of define it. Let's go down that way.
Okay, well, a distraction is anything that takes you off your mission, your why. Another really impactful voice in my head is Simon Sinek, and he wrote a book called Start With Why. Have you read that one?
Yes.
Okay. So I love that, the idea of putting a point on the horizon. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, your job is to lead. So where are we going? So you pick a point, you make it up, you decide what you want this business to be, and you come up with a why in terms of something compelling that gets you to want to go there. And if it's compelling to you, you may be able to get someone else interested. But whatever that point on the horizon is that you've picked, a distraction is something that takes you away from it. So if where you want to go is financial freedom, then going into debt, $150,000 for something that's really not needed or wanted, would take you in the opposite direction. That's a grand illustration. Does that make sense? So
yes,
distraction is anything that takes you away from where you want to go, who you want to be. So that vision, mission, everybody calls it something different gurus, whatever you call it, that point on the horizon, your why, whatever, that's where you're headed. And then the distraction will keep you from getting there. So I don't think Facebook is the problem. Facebook may be very much aligned with where you want to go. For instance, with you and me, Facebook is how we communicate with our communities. It's how we find each other. It's how I keep in touch with my relatives, with my nieces and nephews. And, you know, so Facebook, you know, some of these iPhone things, like the iPhone or the smartphone has suddenly become the enemy. It's an awesome tool. And Facebook and Periscope and Twitter, these things may be useful to you for not only building your business, but staying in touch with people you want to stay in touch with. So I think when we talk about distractions, the knee-jerk response to distractions is, yeah, I got to put my phone down. Let's leave that aside for a minute. I'm going to give my three top tips for dealing with distractions. Okay, now I've got one other thing, too. I want to mention the dangers of distractions or trying to multitask or getting too many thoughts in your heads at once. When you have too many thoughts going, it reduces your IQ. In fact, there's the Stanford study. I've got a link I think I sent over to you guys. But
yes,
there's a Stanford study that says it is equivalent to smoking pot. So you can fire up a fatty, Bert, or you can multitask, and your IQ level can be about the same. Now, the problem with that is then when we get distracted or have too many thoughts going on at the same time and stuff is taking us away from what we want, when your IQ drops, you make dumber decisions. So allowing yourself to have some space and some focus can be really, really important. Now, I'm not the most focused person, as evidenced by the top of our segment here. However, I've managed to get focused enough, and this is how I've done it. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips that may help. Okay, my top three tips for dissolving distractions are, here's number one, the simple test of determining whether or not the interruption or the distraction is something that you can do something about or should be ignored. And that's the test. Can you do anything about it? So, for instance, your mom calls and she's, you know, sharing something that's happening with your sister, and she goes on and on. Now, you've got to be nice. It's your mom. But at some point, you've got to ask, and I suggest you do this quickly, is this something I can do anything about? Is this in my control in any way? Because, Bert, what's the answer to this question? Whose behavior can you control?
Mine.
And only yours. Do you realize how deeply focusing that is? Okay, if you can't do anything about it, then you could ignore it. Mom,
yes.
I hear you. I see that that's a problem. I'm going to send her my best thoughts. But you don't have to knee-jerk response and get involved in some drama that you can't do anything about. Now, sometimes you can do something about it. So what you can ask after the simple test of whether or not I can do anything about it is, do you have to do it right now? This stimulus response is what sucks out our day. Got a minute? Sure. Open door policy. I need help. I'm here. And then, you know, knee-jerk all day until you don't know what happened to your day. But suppose there is something you can do about it. You have to do something right now. So, for instance, do you have kids? Are you a dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Five
how many kids do you have?
Five kids.
Five. Oh, you're a professional. Okay, so you've totally been in this situation before. So suppose your kids are squabbling about something and you're around. You could do something about it. You could go talk to them, address the situation, put people in different rooms. You could go intervene. But you may not choose to do so right this second. And have you discovered that sometimes they figure it out without you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, again, and what you said there, it does come from experience, because at first you think that as a parent, first of all, that's your job, and second of all, you want it to be quiet. Now, when my kids are squabbling, I will ask them sometimes to leave the room and go figure it out, because
mm-hmm.
I don't want them disrupting whatever's
right,
happening.
Right, and that's something you can do, and it may be something you choose to do now or later, or maybe you'll set up a meeting. And I know, oh, man, we've got to go fast, so I want to give my other two distractions, and then if we have time, we can dig into it a little bit more. Distraction busters. Here's my second one. This is my go-to consulting question. When some kind of disaster happens and it's got everyone's attention in the office, suppose I'm there as a consultant and I see this thing go down, what I will try and do is grab the owner by the chin and say, what do we want to have happen here? What do you want? As opposed to getting involved in the drama, go back to that point on the horizon. Is what's happening now leading us in that direction, or is it getting us off course? Sometimes the distraction can be a wormhole to what you really want. A customer blows up. We realize we don't have any kind of a customer recovery program. We use this situation to create one as well as resolve the customer upset. We just wormhole in the direction of our dream. So when you go big picture, what is it that we really, really want? Sometimes that distraction allows us an opportunity to change what we're doing, but find something that's going to move us where we want to go. And then the third, do you like that? And then the third distraction buster is this, or distraction buster, is if you're getting repeatedly distracted, I guarantee you're being distracting. They call this seagull management, when you swoop in, poop, and leave. Do you know anybody like that? You know, do you have to interrupt all the time? Could you set up meetings? Now, meetings have a bad reputation, but if you have good meetings that start and stop on time with the right people, a little agenda, that's when you save your questions. So one of my favorite responses is if someone says, got a minute, I say, maybe, give me 5 seconds of what you're going to share. And at that point, I might say, oh, man, we got to address that right now. Or I might say, that could wait for the meeting? Do you think it could wait for the meeting? And we park it. And a lot of times, it isn't important enough that it makes it to the meeting and they resolve it on their own, which is delightful. Or at least at the meeting, we're going to get that tackled. Don't make everything an emergency.
Right. No, I like that. And there's two things that I take away from this. Is first of all, using your example, you can train your people just like you train your children. So if you have this, if you've trained your people that they can interrupt you for any little thing, then they will.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, you know that sometimes an open door policy is not the best way to do it. Who is it? Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has
uh-huh.
a partner named Charlie Munger.
Yeah.
So Charlie Munger talked about, he has an open door policy, but you have to go through his calendar.
Yeah.
And
absolutely, the door can be closed sometimes.
Sure.
You know, that's a really important thing. Hey, you know who else you might love to have as a guest on your show? I met this guy at a seminar, and I love him. His name is Mark Timm, M-A-R-K-T-I-M-M. I'll send you his info. But he talks about creating a business corporation. He's got a bunch of kids, too. He's got like a yours, mine, and ours family, I think. He's got six kids.
Gotcha.
And so they started to have family meetings and a family court and, you know, rules and responsibilities in exchange. But, you know, when we talk about treating our employees like children, all we're talking about is treating people like people, being respectful and honoring of each other. And that can bring so much of the drama and distraction down to a manageable roar.
Yes, I like that. Listen, we're out of time. Always good to have you on the show.
I know we're out of time, but he would be great on your show, Bert. So I'm going to turn your community on to him too, okay?
Sounds good. Mark Timm, T-I-M-M. Ellen Rohr, thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to having you back again soon. Have a wonderful day.
It's never enough time. I love your show. I love your guests. Thanks for all you do.
You bet. Thank you so much. Good stuff there from Ellen Rohr, the plumber's wife. And you can find out more about Ellen at ellenrohr, ROHR.com. And you can tell she's a bundle of energy. She's got great ideas, real simple, easy to implement strategies that will change your business, possibly change your life. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.